Thank you, Peter. Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone to our church this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And by being here, each and every one of us will be blessed. Good to see everyone. Marge, over to you.
Morning. Bible study, living beyond yourself, exploring the fruits of the Spirit, that begins this Thursday at 10 o'clock. And I guess they're also doing a Tuesday evening one, which starts on November 23rd. Is that right, Sandy? Same Bible study? And Sandy has the book, so if you're planning on doing this Bible study, see Sandy after church. Mustard seed this Wednesday. They're also collecting donations for winter wear for the guests, gloves, socks, hats, scarves, anything to help them during the cold winter we're hoping we're not going to have. Next Sunday is cradle roll promotions and also potluck after lunch, so please try to remember to bring something and stay in and enjoy the fellowship of potluck. Christmas choir practice starts Monday, November 22nd at 8 o'clock, and will continue on Mondays and Thursdays till December 16th. Quiet retreat on Saturday, November the 27th from 9 until 12, which is always a real nice time to come and just kind of sit quietly in the church and meditate a bit. Sunday, November 28th is our Advent Sunday, so that's when we bring the white gifts for the needy children, and we're also celebrating Holy Communion that day. We're still looking for someone to help with the organizing the photo direct, making the new photo directory. So if anyone would like to take on that job, you can either speak to Ian. Next Sunday, Mike Robertson will give a short talk on his forthcoming mission trip to Colombia. We're also having the cradle roll promotions next Sunday and celebrating November birthdays, so it's going to be a busy day. There's an elders meeting on Thursday, this coming Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And Scott Lutley has something he would like to speak to us on Lar Feliz. And then following that, we're going to have a short film on the nativity scenes showing last year. Grant's going to show us. So, Scott.
Thank you. Good morning. So as many of you know, Nicole Lacey and I have been involved over the past few years with an orphanage in Brazil known as the Lar Feliz. Now, this is an orphanage that takes in orphans, but for the most part, children who can't receive proper care at home, whether it be from poverty or just abuse. So it's a very important institution in Brazil. And first of all, I would just like to say thank you to all the all our regular donors, and if you've ever donated to the Lar Feliz, I want to say thank you, because over the last couple of years, this church alone has raised just a little under $17,000. So everyone's made a huge difference with this organization, and I know the director, Paul, he's very, very thankful. And over the last few years, because of your donations, the Lar Feliz has been able to expand. They started as when Nicole and I first visited. Oh, hi, Nicole. Nicole and I first visited. I think it held about 55 children, 54, 55. Now it's expanded to over 70, capacity of over 70 children. And a lot of that expansion has been for the very young children, like especially 0 to 2 years old. So that's been very important, because there's not many other facilities nearby that can take those young children. as well, the main project that I think we've been sort of focusing on is the greenhouse. And I think I've explained before, but I'll do it again right now, is the green in that area of Brazil, greenhouses are what make money. It's centered around a town called Holambra, and Holambra is Brazil's largest export in flowers and flowering trees. So they raise these plants in the greenhouses and then sell them for a profit when they've grown larger. When Nicole and I first went, the Larfalese has a greenhouse on the property, but it's dilapidated and was not in use. What we thought we could do was help get it going again so that the Larfalese could actually sustain themselves and generate a bit of their own income. And just recently, the greenhouse has been up and running. And it's only running at about 25%, but right now they have 25,000 flowering plants. Now, in about a month or so, they'll be able to sell that for 3 or 4 Brazilian reais, which is like the dollar. So that generates about 75,000 Brazilian reais for the plant, or for the Larfalese, and that's a very large part of the budget. So I know they wouldn't have been able to do it without our support. Anyways, one of the main reasons that I'm up here today is that so far people who have been donating have just been going through me, and then I go through a channel organization that gets down to Brazil. We're going to change that a little bit because, as many of you know, I'm kind of living full-time in Calgary right now, and it's hard for me to get out here. So I'm going to pass the reins over to the very capable hands of Nicole Lacey. From now on, if you want to make a donation, you can still make checks out to the Calgary Missionary Foundation, but you'll just have to pass them off to Nicole. Also, if you want to keep in touch with the Larfalese, there's always the www.larfalese.com. They have updated news and pictures and all the information you could that you'd want to find out about the Larfalese. Also, they have a blog that they update almost every couple of days. So if you want to keep in touch there, that's an easy way to do it. If you have any questions, you can talk to either myself or Nicole after church. I just want to say thanks again very much, because through your donations, you've made a big difference in a lot of children's lives. Thanks.
Good job, Scott. So now we'll have this, we're showing you this short video. We're hoping to do the display of nativity scenes again this year. Last year, the weather didn't cooperate very good, although we did have, I think we had about 35, 40 people visited our church to see the display. So we're hoping to do much better this year. So we're just showing you this video that Sandra made last year. For those of you that weren't able to see it last year, know what we're aiming at this year.
start to get you into the spirit of things. So we appreciate Sandra doing that that short video from last year's nativities, and we're looking forward to this year. It's going to be great again. So thank you very much. Thanks to Scott for the update. It's kind of great that the work of Christ's church here in a small village of Cremona reaches way out to Brazil and to here, to there, to all different places. And it's marvellous that people like Scott and Nicole do this work and reach out in Christ's name right down there into Brazil. That's wonderful. Thank you, Scott. That's excellent. Now then, I have an important task to do here. Peggy has a forthcoming choir coming up for Christmas, and she says I have to find her some singers. Dan. Okay, maybe not this year. Seriously, look, Peggy needs her choir to come together for these practices. And if you can help out, if you can make a noise, even a little joyful noise unto the Lord, Peggy can use you. And she can work you into her Christmas choir, and it'll all be part of our perfect, wonderful Christmas package. So we've got nativities, we've got the Christmas choir, and we've got all the Advent stuff going on. So be part of it. It starts this month, back end of this next week. Choir practices next week. Where have I got this? 22nd, Monday the 22nd at 8 o'clock, Mondays and Thursdays. Okay, so everybody, if you're able, come along and sing. The other thing I meant to mention is, of course, is today is actually Remembrance Sunday. Remembrance Day was November the 11th. Today, being the closest Sunday to Remembrance Day, is Remembrance Sunday. And we will be having an act of remembrance a little later on in the worship service. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Words from Psalm 118. Sandra Howard, would you please come up and lead us in our choruses? Thank you.
Into the 20th century and even the 21st century now, we have an amplifier, so yep, it works as well. This morning our choruses are ones that we've done many times before, so we hope you'll be able to get into the swing of things and enjoy singing along with us. We're going to start with As We Gather and the Steadfast Love of the Lord as a medley, and we've done this a few times before as well. So please join and with us and sing.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we can. We'll be blessed because we can. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Now our second one is a faithful one, and we'll do this one twice.
Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in time of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you
Gentle Shepherd. And we'll sing this twice.
Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. there's no other we can turn to. Who can help us face another day? Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way.
Thanks to Sandra and Howard for those beautiful choruses and leading us into our worship. Thank you so much. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, because you have given to us this great opportunity, this wonderful privilege of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And we come here today, Lord, because our hearts are overflowing with thanksgiving. We come today, Lord, because we seek to worship you. We seek to bring honor and glory to the wonderful and blessed name of Jesus. And so, gracious Father, as we worship you, we pray that you will open our hearts and open our minds, and that you will speak to each and every one of us. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will accept the praise we bring, for we come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our responsive reading this morning is taken from Isaiah 12, 2-6, the Songs of Praise. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
For our special music this morning, you've probably guessed from what you see here who's going to be presenting it for us. And so I'm my delight to invite Margaret to come up and present for us her special music. And I think she's going to sing for us Ode to Joy. Is that right, Margaret? Thank you.
This is one of our favorite hymns, of course, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. I've played with it a little bit. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Beethoven, the composer. He was absolutely wonderful. He had a difficult life. When he was young, in his early teens, he learned that his hearing was beginning to leave him. And by the time he was 28 years old, he was completely deaf. He could only communicate by writing. When he was younger, of course, he did perform on the continent as a pianist, a concert pianist. He had a difficult life. His father was a drunk. His mother was ill. And so he had to support her. But he himself had a great love of nature. He loved to walk in the countryside and just soak up the feeling that he felt. And he must have felt very close to his creator, because a lot of his music indicates that. Look at the Moonlight Sonata and his Sixth Symphony, the Pastoral. If you could close your eyes and listen to that, you could imagine yourself just walking through a beautiful, warm, sunny countryside. And this song is from his Ninth Symphony. And it was all about the brotherhood of man. And these words, of course, indicate to us the awesomeness of our God and what a legacy of beautiful music he has left us to enjoy. This is his ode to joy.
Lift us to
saying, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. Alleluia.
Thanks to Margaret for that. I think our congregational chairman, Bill Bronsma, he put it right when he said to me, when Margaret sings, it's like listening to a canary. Beautiful, Margaret. Thank you. We really do appreciate it. So now we come to our act of remembrance. We as a country and we as individuals owe a great debt to the many people who defend our peace and our prosperity. In the wars that have taken place, the Great Wars, the Second World War, and all the subsequent wars, and the guys who are out, and the ladies who are out now in places like Afghanistan and wherever it may be going on. And they are out there so that we might have peace and prosperity. And so for a few very brief moments, let us all stand and pay silent tribute to those who give their lives or their health that we might continue to live in peace. Shall we stand? They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Thank you. Please be seated. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to accept the gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please.
Giving to kids in need. Ooh, Panama. Cool. I've always wanted to go to Panama. Hola, fresh breath. Buenos dias, bright smile. There you go, Teddy. Adios. You'll make some little niña very happy. Oh, heavy crayons. Whoa. The better to color with, my dear. Boy. Whoa! A little help? Hey, guys, I'm in here.
Did you say something?
Eh?
What did you say?
Eh?
Never mind. Oh! Oh! This is heavy. Some little one in Panama is going to be very surprised.
Help! Airfare, por favor.
Merry Christmas, and Jesus loves you.
It's Operation Christmas Child.
Since 1993, Operation Christmas Child has delivered over 68 million shoebox gifts to needy kids in over 130 countries.
They open their boxes and they are excited. There's a smile on their face. You can see a spark in their eyes.
We love packing shoeboxes.
Across the country, millions of people are setting goals and finding ways to pack shoeboxes.
I have a bag of candy with lots of stuff.
Teddy bears,
toothbrush, toothpaste,
and a green dog.
When we see these boxes coming here, they're not just shoeboxes. They're tools for ministry. They're miracles. They're landing in people's hands that would never dream about it.
I'm absolutely overwhelmed that these children have something to smile about this Christmas. I cannot thank Samaritan's Purse enough for what they've done for these children. My thanks reaches the highest heaven.
Where did you go? Ooh, nice hat.
You guys should really turn down your headphones. Never mind.
Hey,
exciting for us to be part of this. These children opening these boxes and they're getting gifts. Some of them are the first gift that they've ever had, and we're part of it, and that's great. Now, if anyone hasn't contributed to shoeboxes, if you would still like to build one, you still have a chance, because our Ladies Fellowship have been organising the collection of goods and the putting together of these boxes, and they've done a great job, a wonderful job. Some people have brought their own boxes in, but you can still bring a box in. You've still got until next Sunday if you want to bring a box in, okay? You can do that and be part of this exciting adventure of bringing God's blessings upon little children throughout the world who would otherwise have nothing. So what we're going to do now is we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to ask God to bless these gifts and to bless, through these gifts, to bless the children that receive them. So shall we just bow our heads and say a little prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness in taking care of us. And we thank you that we have this opportunity to help some of your other children in other lands who would otherwise have nothing. Lord, we pray that you will bless them, all of these children, and that you will bless the homes that they come from, and that these gifts may be your child of blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
And now we stand and we sing to God's glory, hymn 117. We come, O Christ, to you, and we sing four verses.
In whom all life began.
So we come now to our time of prayer. Now you have seen the results of what your prayers can do. We have seen members of our own church family, and we have seen members of our community whom we as a church family have prayed for, and we have seen them restored to health. And we always try to remember to add to our prayers, "Thy will be done, Lord," because we never know what the Lord is doing in his wonderful plans. But anyway, we need your prayers again. Our dear friend Elmer Bird is really suffering from terrible back spasms again. And we know that she wears a brace to try and help her to get through, but right now she is suffering. But with the help of your prayers, we know that the good Lord will touch her life, will hopefully touch her back with it, with healing touch, and restore her and give her some peace in her mind and body from this pain that she is suffering. I'm delighted to see Alice here with us today. Good to see Alice back, and I'm reminded that Reg is still in the hospital where he will probably remain now. And just pray for Reg. Keep saying a little prayer for Reg and for Alice as she helps and sustains him. She goes up there daily, and that's not easy. That isn't easy. And of course, all the other friends who you know of, your community friends, your family friends, all these people who need your prayers, and God answers prayer. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us begin our prayer on this Sunday of remembrance by thanking God for his love for each one of us. Almighty God, our Father, we can never thank you enough for the great love that you have for us, that you made known when you walked on this earth in the form of your Son and our Saviour Jesus. Your wonderful love, Lord, that redeems us and all mankind. Your love that freely forgives the repentant sinner. Your love that watches over us every day. Your love that is stronger than death. Your love that can bring peace and joy and healing into the lives of all. God of love, we ask you to accept our thanksgiving and grant us grace to love you more. Father, we thank you for our church and for our church family. We thank you for the many ways in which the church influences our lives. And we pray that through these influences, we may become a channel of your peace, so that where there is hatred, we can bring love. Where there is despair, we can bring hope. Where there is sadness, ever joy. And where there is doubt, true faith in you. We pray your blessing, Father, upon all who share with us in your church's life and worship, and that together we may indeed be a channel of your peace, in the blessed name of our Saviour Jesus. And we pray now, Father, in silence, for those of our community of friends, for those people whom you have laid upon our hearts to care for, to worry about, and to pray for. And we bring them to you, Lord, in the silence and in the beauty of holiness. We pray in silence. Lord God, we pray for your church throughout the world, that she may share to the full in the work of your Spirit, revealing your true and wonderful nature to all people, reconciling them to you and to one another. We pray, Lord, that we and all Christian people may learn to love one another as you love us, and that your church may more and more reflect the unity which is your will and your gift in Christ Jesus our Saviour. And through that unity, Father, we pray that your church may be a channel of your blessed peace throughout the world. And now, Father, on this special day, we remember with thanksgiving all of those who have died as the victims of world wars and other conflicts. We remember those whom we knew or were known to our parents, to our grandparents, to our community. And we also remember, Lord, those who came home with injuries, those who suffered mental traumas, and especially those, Lord, who lost someone they loved. And we think, Father, of those who continue to suffer, that they may receive courage and hope in their troubles, and through you, blessed Father, we pray that they may find inner peace of mind. And as we remember before you, O Lord, all who have given so much for peace and prosperity, we also remember that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ died for us, that through him who is the light of the world, that we might also walk in light, and that we may also be light unto others who walk in dark places. And so finally, Father, we pray for ourselves. We pray, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Lord, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Gracious Father, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm going to beg your forgiveness ahead of time because I'm going to steal a minute of time before I do the readings. I hope I can get through this, but I brought my Kleenex just in case. When I walked into the church this morning, up on the screen was God's billboard, and it said, Jesus said, it is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has sent by his own authority. Yesterday, Dale's parents were 92. God gave Dale's mother the strength and the will and the health to join us for the first time in 2 years. And yesterday, Dale's mother and dad held their youngest of 13 great-grandchildren, our youngest grandson, who's 3 months old. And they saw the three youngest grandsons that they hadn't really seen or had an opportunity to know yesterday. And for the first time in 2 years, we were together as a whole family. And God was so good that he even allowed our eldest grandson, who hates having his picture taken, and I mean hates. We don't have a picture of him without him sticking his tongue out for years. But he actually came into the family pictures, and we have a picture for the first time of the four generations of our family and the four generations of the men in our family, Dale's dad, Dale, Keith and Derek, and their sons. And I looked at the banners. We give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You have no idea. Well, yeah, you probably do, because I'm standing up here blubbering, but you have no idea what that did for me, because although the great-grandparents are Dale's parents, they're my parents too, and they have been the best in-laws you can imagine. And so before I make a bigger fool of myself, allow me to get on with the readings for this morning. The first reading is from Luke, chapters 21, verses 5 to 19, Signs of the End of the Age. Some of the disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." And the epistle is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 13. "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teachings that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and to earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is good."
I think it's kind of neat when you hear Paul calling people busybodies. Thank you, Pat, and we share in your rejoicing. That was great for sharing that with us. Thank you. And now we stand again and we sing to God's glory hymn 443, "Give Me Jesus."
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love eternal years the same. Oh, the watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus, let me view his constant smile, then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus, in his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, bridge of endless life above.
Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At the very end of our gospel reading this morning, Jesus made a statement about hair. So I will begin by speaking a little about hair in a light-hearted or perhaps a light-headed way. A balding man once asked his barber, "Why do you charge me full price for cutting my hair? There is so little of it." And the barber replied, "Well, actually, I don't charge you full price, but I do have to tack on a finder's fee." A little boy was looking through the family photographs, and he asked his mum, "Who's the guy on the beach with all the muscles and the curly hair?" "Why, that's your father," she said. "Then who's the bald-headed guy who lives with us now?" Thankfully, most men learn to be good sports about their hair loss, and they get their revenge with blonde jokes. Blonde jokes are really quite silly, but they're funny, and generally they are quite harmless. A lady with, shall we say, light-coloured hair was driving her car when she was caught in a bad hailstorm. Next day, she took the car into the repair shop, and the shop owner, when seeing the colour of her hair, decided to have a bit of fun with her. He told her to go home and bend down on her knees and blow into the tailpipe really hard, and all the dents would pop out. She went home, got down on her knees, and blew really hard into the tailpipe, but nothing happened. And her roommate, who just happened to have the same tint of hair as she had, asked her what she was doing. So she told her about the storm and the advice of the repair shop man, and her roommate rolled her eyes and said, like, "Hello, you need to roll up the windows first." The good news for all of us, regardless of the colour of our hair or whether you have hair or not, Jesus says we do not need to worry about our hair. "Not a hair of your head will perish." And Jesus spoke these words as Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple. And the disciples were remarking on the sheer magnificence of this amazing building. And what we've got to remember is that these disciples, they were really country lads. They would have been viewing the temple through the eyes of tourists, much the way we would when we walk into any of the world's great cathedrals. We would gaze all around us in awe and wonder at the sight. And so as these country lads oohed and aahed at this wonderful and majestic sight, Jesus made one of the few very specific predictions of his entire ministry. And what Jesus said would have totally shocked his friends. Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left on another. And they would have been astounded at these unbelievable words from Jesus. This is the temple of God, the center and the bedrock of their entire world. A building of stones so huge that railroad boxcars would be like them, weighing hundreds of tons. That's how big they were. Destroyed? Thrown down? Absolutely absurd. Absolutely unbelievable. In the year 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus predicted that it would, the Jerusalem temple was destroyed by Titus, a Roman general with 80,000 men. He ordered the whole city and the temple to be razed to the ground. And all that remains of that temple now is what we know as the Wailing Wall, the most holy spot for present-day Jews in Jerusalem. Those of Jesus' followers who were still alive when this happened undoubtedly recall that Jesus had predicted it. He said that it would happen. But at the same time as he spoke these words, the disciples probably listened in disbelief. They just couldn't believe that this could happen. What? When? How? When will this happen? What signs will we see to know it's the time for this kind of stuff to happen? And the disciples, well, they were just ordinary people like you and I. And like us, they got all concerned about all of the wrong things. Jesus knew that if the disciples started looking for signs, they would see signs that were not really there. They would become susceptible to deception. And Jesus had no use for those who were continually asking for and looking for signs. You will find what you are looking for. You will see things and put your own interpretation on them. And what you see, you will work out for yourself and fit it in with what you're expecting. Watch out, said Jesus. Don't be deceived. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the end is near. Do not follow them. Then he went on to tell us some of the things that we can expect to see. When you hear about wars and riots, he said, don't be afraid. Nations will go to war with one another, and kingdoms will attack one another. And Jesus continued, there will be great earthquakes. People will starve to death and suffer terrible diseases. All sorts of frightening things will be seen in the sky. And you kind of think to yourself, wow, is Jesus talking about now? Right now? Isn't all this sort of stuff going on all over the world right now? Yes, it is. And Jesus could be talking about our time, and he could have been talking about any other time in recorded history. There have always been wars and rumors of war. There have been earthquakes and famines and pestilences and diseases. Throughout the ages, nothing has changed. And we have had a continuous line of those who stand up and claim, this is it. The end is near. And so in this portion of scripture from today, Jesus warns us that all this sort of stuff is going to be going on, but he also reassures us. He says, do not be deceived. These things will have to happen, but that isn't the end. That is not the end. In Acts chapter 1, we read of the time that Jesus, whilst appearing to his disciples following the resurrection, the disciples were still trying to push Jesus about dates and times, and he still told them the same thing. And it's that verse that Pat quoted to you. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. So next time they come knocking on your door with their dire warnings of end times, hear the word of the Lord. Do not be deceived. And then back to our gospel reading for today. Jesus gives us some more solid advice. In verse 14, Jesus had a word for the worriers. Do we have any worriers in the congregation? No, I thought not. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. And Jesus said this after warning his followers that life would not be easy. They would suffer all kinds of hardships, as we all do in our daily lives. But he says, make up your mind not to worry, because at the end of the day, not a hair of your head will perish. Despite anything that you might go through, at the end of it all, not a hair of your head will perish. And when Jesus said this, he did not mean that your body will never suffer. He did not mean that your hair will never fall out. Nor did he mean that we will be exempt from catastrophes in our lives. But what he does mean is this: not a hair of your head will forever perish. Meaning that we will not have taken from us anything that is really important to our eternal destination. Yes, we will suffer loss, sometimes grievous losses, but all loss is temporary to those who love the Lord. God's power is greater than any power that would ever try to crush you or I. We belong to the Lord. Life at times is difficult. God is merciful, but heaven is sure. We are in God's hands, and God will never let us fall. And for this we say thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. For our closing hymn, we will sing 116, Take the Name of Jesus With You. 116.
Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy. our souls with joy. When his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.